You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north in Aria, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Haifa, Beersheba, Netanya. We're going to hit all those places today and many, many more. And of course, if you like this program, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, leave us a five-star rating. Write us a nice review because you are nice people. Also, make sure you check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We bring it to you in both languages. The sports of the country, yes, in both. And, of course, on the end of the week program, we welcome on board Roei Shalom, my partner in crime. We got to see each other in person last night for the first time in roughly a year, which is crazy to think that we've done this podcast each and every week for, you know, a year, and somehow we just never saw each other in person. But yes, we were there in person, and it was a blessing, Roei Shalom. Did you know that it was a real blessing? Did you know?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. You know, I was so happy to see you after such a long time. And, you know, we had some, like, somewhat chances to meet, and it always, like,
kind of fell apart, yeah.
Pan out, yeah, and I was like, you know what? Like, even yesterday, we were supposed to meet before the game, and then, yeah, you know, traffic here in Israel. So that's not new, unfortunately. But
yeah.
But close. I was like, I'm waiting for you, and like until the last second, and you know, whatever it takes me, I'll just stay here.
And I made sure. And I made sure it was worth your while, baby.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But it was a real blessing. It was a real blessing. And you know, I mentioned the word blessing because it's a blessing that we have. Blessing, blessing, Afrifa. Yes, blessing, Afrifa. 200-meter dash in the under-20 World Championships. He breaks the 20-second mark, 19.96. Wins the gold medal by 6 thousandths of a second, which is like so odd to say. And you know, before the show we were talking about blessing, and you look at the world record holders in the 200 meter dash, right? And of course Usain Bolt owns that record, which he marked in 2009 with 19.19 seconds. If you look back to Michael Johnson in 1996, he ran in 19.66, and then a month and a half later, ran in 19.32. Usain Bolt in 2008 ran in 19.30 and then did the 19.19. To have an under 20 athlete run the 19.96, A, is under 20 seconds is phenomenal. B, what's even more phenomenal is that he is an Israeli. And he has quite the story. We're not going to go into the full details of his story, but you can make sure that the Sports Rabbi will have a piece about him. But he has been already noticed for a number of years as a rising star in the athletics world. He was born to parents from Ghana here in Israel. Esther Roth, you know, said that this is going to be an Israeli Olympic sprinter. This is back in 2020 that she said that. The Olympic Committee understood that he was going to be a phenom. And that, you know, it took time to get him citizenship because even though if you're born here, it doesn't mean you get automatic citizenship like in the United States. So it took time for that. And he described himself, his dream is to becoming the Usain Bolt of Israel. That's really quite the dream. That was a couple of years ago. And here he is, the Usain Bolt of Israel. This happened in the middle of the night. Blessing Afrifa. What could I say? It was neck and neck at the line, and literally he just won by, you know, we talked off air about this, that it could be the track, it could be the wind blowing one way, it could be the heat, it could be the barometer, it could be the, you know, it could be so many different factors that play into running. And in trying to hit a record, on one hand, you look at Usain Bolt's record, it's like less than a thousand, it's less than 1 second off of this blessing of Rifa's number, but it's so hard to break. And how fast can man go? That's really the question. And it's nice to have an Israeli in such a position where, he's winning gold medal at the Under 20 championship, and obviously will be running for Israel at the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. Roei Shalom.
Yeah, exciting. And I always love to and in a way it's annoying that I've never heard his name before, or I think a lot have never heard his name
Most
before
people haven't heard.
before.
Nah, and most people haven't heard his
Yeah,
name.
right. So I'm saying there's so many amazing athletes in Israel, in so many different sports here. And only such a big accomplishment really brings them to the top stage, if it's the top sites or even us talking about them. So
You have to be the best of the
it's
best.
a
It's very hard. I
right.
mean, like, it's crazy, I mean, you really have to be the best of the best in these type of sports to be able to get in, to be able to advance to a final and then to win a gold medal is so difficult. I mean, Israel, if we ever had sprinters that would be in the semifinals, right? That was like that'd be a massive accomplishment. To make it to a final is like literally for Israel winning a gold medal. And then here you
Right.
have winning a gold medal. It's really quite an accomplishment, and wow, it's exciting.
It really is.
But
It really is.
what's even more exciting for the fans that are fans of the soccer would have to be Maccabi Haifa fans, Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, and Hapoel Be'er Sheva fans. If you look at it, it was 8-0. That was the mark this week of Israeli teams in Europe. 8 goals scored, no goals conceded. I mean, it was probably a banner week. I don't know if we've ever seen a week like this before. I mean, like, where you're really, and this is not like round one, right? We're in the third round against good opponents. Be'er Sheva against Lugano, Maccabi Tel Aviv, playing against Aris Thessaloniki. And you have Maccabi Haifa against Apollon Limassol after last week's 4-0 win over Olympiakos. They decided to do it again to win 4-0 again. Ali Muhammad, 2 goals, is his first goals in over like 3,000 minutes that he was with on the field for Maccabi Haifa in 55 games. He hadn't scored a goal, so instead of scoring one, he decided, hey, I'm going to score two, and that's what he did. And they were nice goals. I mean, one was a gorgeous volley, a nice another one was a nice header. He looked terrific in that game. Those 2 goals were phenomenal from him. And Barak Bekhar is just on his way. I mean, the first goal was really Dolev Khazizah, stuff angled shot glanced off of Mathieu Pébernès, who ended up leaving the game with 2 yellow cards and a red card near the end. That was go even though it was an own goal, it was still really all Dolev Khazizah. And Dolev Khazizah was great. I mean, he sent across, I believe it was him to France. Fancy Francie, as I'm calling him these days. Fancy Francie Perrault. Yes, the sports probably was totally wrong about him. And he scored a gorgeous diving header. Listen, I mean, Apollon Limassol, I spoke to a couple people that were at the game. They said that they were bottom Liga Ta'al, Liga Leumit level team. Now, was it all Maccabi Haifa making them look that way, and that that's what they really are? That's still a question open for debate. But Maccabi Haifa right now is in mid-season form, and Olympiacos wasn't, Limassol wasn't. They basically have pretty much punched their tickets to the next round, unless something Oi Davidovich happens in the return leg in Cyprus, which I can't believe will happen. Though I do believe Barak Bekhar will allow a bunch of players that haven't played to play. But I got to say this, I think that Maccabi Haifa, really, their signings over the summer were superb. And the signings that I'm talking about are Pierre Cornu, who is phenomenal as a defensive back. I mean, absolutely spectacular. I mean, the guy is so good. He has good technique, good ball movement, knows where to put the ball. I think it was Cornu, not Cosisa, that actually made that cross to Francie. Yeah, so I apologize on that now that I'm thinking back to the game. Cornu has been great. Sundgren has been very good. And they really toughened up their defensive line with two guys that are constantly creating, constantly, have the ability to create, constantly can backtrack. And they've just done a stellar job. And I think that's been the key for Maccabi Haifa, Roshan.
They have really took this team, and I'm talking about these three players, have really taken this team to the next step. And it felt like, and it feels like champions, Sami Ofel, the full stadium, the way they're playing, the intensity, the attacking style, they're pushing all the time. You're seeing everyone running, everyone sliding, everyone, on, and it didn't start perfect, right? It took time, but you knew that the second the goal will come in, and they had some misses before the first goal, but you felt like something is gonna explode, like a volcano, and it's so close, and every attempt is like it's getting closer, it's getting closer, it's getting closer. And after that, Dolev Khazizah, it's not his goal, but the own goal that he led to really opened it all up.
Yeah, I mean that really,
And
it took them a while, took them into around the
it did,
29th minute or so to
but from
score.
the first minute, you really felt that there's a difference between the
38th
two
minute,
teams.
sorry about that. But yeah, I mean you could feel that there was a massive gap between the abilities of these two teams.
Now, I want to say this. Limassol, and I really don't like the saying that, they're probably end of division first, like the first league. One of the lower teams in the first league. Like, come on, guys. We're only the Israeli league, and I love it that sometimes we think that we're like the Premier League here. But this is a really good team that can play soccer. Are they really like amazing good? No. Are they Champions League good? No. But they're gonna be. We're talking about a team that is gonna be probably or in the Conference League, or in the Europa League. And we should give credit for that. Now, they're not the teams that say the team from Azerbaijan that we saw Maccabi Tel Aviv play, or Minsk, as we saw Beersheba play. No, they're not that. They're the Cyprus champions, and even Cyprus champions is probably better than most teams here in Israel, much more than just most teams. So give them credit, and give even more credit to Maccabi Haifa, really, for the showing and the way they've been playing. And Barak Bachar, I'm trying to compare it to his days back then in Beersheba, like the third season in Beersheba. And you feel that he learned a lot from that, and he's just implementing it all over here. And the way that they were able to scout the players that they really needed, not just brought in a right defensive back or a left defensive back
To
or a
just say that we're going
striker.
to sign a new player and bring him in, just like Yves said, I'm
Exactly.
not going to bring in a player just to say I'm going to bring in a player. They
Right.
were really intelligent in their signings. They knew what they wanted, and that's what they did. They brought in solid players that have all produced. All three of them have been critical.
And not only they've produced, they've made the players around them so
Better.
much better. Look at Dolev Khazizah, okay? And Dolev Khazizah, last year had he got a lot of criticism because he wasn't able to really score or even assist, or he was really passive passive in a way. And right now he is playing all over, pretty much the left wing, and running all the way to the defense and offense, and really showing his skills all around. And when you have Pierrot next to him and you have Corneau next to him, and you see the same thing you can say about Ali Muhammad, that he took his game 10 steps forward. I think it's also because he's more confident in the place he is at. He's starting as well, and he's going every single week trying to win a job in the starting 11 against Nesta Labi, against Mohamed Abou Fanni, against Tyrone Cherie. It's when you're working all week long to win the starting job, and then you need to produce on the pitch. It's so much easier because you've been working so hard during the week. It's like the saying that when you make, I don't even know how to say it in English, but when you make the food before Shabbat, you can really enjoy it during Shabbat.
Right, of course. That's what they're doing. They're enjoying the fruits of their labors.
Exactly. Ali Muhammad, he's I'm hearing here in the Israeli press the word Kante, the
Kante,
midfielder from Chelsea. No, he's not there yet, but there's a lot of things that you can see in him that you would say, okay, I understand the comparison. This Maccabi Haifa team really looks incredible, like all around, and they look long and they have a lot of depth. It's gonna be fun, and they're gonna have, we already pretty much know who's gonna be their opponent, and that's
It's going
gonna
to
be
be
Red
Red Star
Star.
Belgrade after their 5-0 win.
Right.
Now, over Punic, who were very puny, the question is, was Red Star, is Red Star that good or is Punic that bad? It looked to me it was a combination of both in the
Exactly.
game.
It's
And
the same.
also when you're playing in Belgrade, and I was at that stadium, okay? When you're playing in Belgrade with those fans, it's not easy. They create an
But is it
atmosphere.
easy? And that is the question that is, that is has been brought up here a lot, is, yeah, it's really hard to play in Belgrade with the fans and all that. And now I have a real question.
Is it
How easy is it
to play
to
at Sammy
play in
Ofer?
Sami Ofer? Is it the same intensity? Is it the same atmosphere? Is it, and you know what? I can't say it's not. As crazy as the Serbians are, Israelis are crazy in different ways. The Haifa fans, and I'm saying crazy in a good way, right? Don't take me wrong here, but the Haifa fans have been incredible, really, really, really incredible, the way they've been supporting their team. And you see the players play a lot for them, and they're really enjoying it, and they're just enjoying each other. So, I really see, and again, there's another week of Limassol. They can even lose that game. Let's be honest, everything can happen. We might see a lot of starters, get some rest before Belgrade. So I'm really, I don't want to even talk about it yet, because we're going to talk about it next show, when we're really sure that Haifa is going to be playing Belgrade. But that's a matchup that I see as 50%, and not Belgrade easily, because it's so much harder to play in Belgrade over Haifa. For me, it's the same.
Any final thoughts on Maccabi Haifa? Barak Bachar is clearly coaching his best football of his career right now. This is the, I mean, you know, he's won championships, right? He won a number of championships with Beersheba, won a championship last year with Maccabi Haifa, has gone deep into various European competitions with Beersheba. But really, right now, it seems that he just has this experience where he is dominating on the sidelines and is just outclassing all the other coaches and competitors, both tactically on the pitch and knowing what he's going to get out of his players. And he made sure to get his players early enough that they are playing as a team already. Whereas, most teams in Europe are far from their peak, very, very far from their peak. PSG's at their peak. We got to see them at Bloomfield Stadium, and we'll get to that in a minute. But all in all, Maccabi Haifa, terrific team. They get a lot of credit. I hear a lot of fans are deciding not to travel to Cyprus for the next game because they don't believe it's a huge. At this point, they just think it's for protocol only, as they say. And they're going to save up for the Belgrade, which is going to be a tough trip. There's no direct flights right now. They're probably going to have to charter some planes over there. I mean, I'm sure they're already thinking about it. There's no question the fans aren't thinking about it. Can Limassol come back? The chances are, very, 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 very slim. Could they win the game? Yes, they could win the game 1-0 or 2-1. I don't see that without the realm of possibility, but I don't really think that Haifa is going to care.
Yeah.
I think right now
Yeah,
they just
it
care that,
doesn't.
it doesn't really matter. Let's move on to Maccabi Tel Aviv, Roy Shalom. Maccabi Tel Aviv, 2-0 winners over Aris Thessaloniki. Salonika, yes, one of the great cities of the Jews in northern Greece. Aris comes visiting a team that Vladimir Ivic is familiar with, having played for Aris and then moving over to their cross-city rivals PAOK, and then also having been a coach of PAOK as well before his first term at Maccabi Tel Aviv. There were a lot of questions going into this game as to how Maccabi Tel Aviv was going to play. Now, the day before the game, Vladimir Ivic basically said that Zahavi is going to play. And that he even alluded that he perhaps may even start, why not? And he could play with two strikers if he decides to. We find out later, of course, it was never really in the cards that he was going to start, and that he only wanted him to play 15 minutes into playing almost 30 for Aaron Zahavi. And of course, he was the difference maker in the game. The minute he steps on the field, it's just as if this magician or this maestro of the orchestra has arrived. And his play, and I asked Ivic about this last night, that his play is just levels above everybody else. His understanding of the game, his no knowledge and know-how as to where he can send the ball to and where he has to be to get that ball back. And we saw it numerous times in the game. Sometimes it made it to its intended target, sometimes not. Zahavi scored the second goal. He almost scored in his first touch, which would have been, I mean, I think it would have blown the top off the stadium. There's not much of a top, but it would have blown whatever top there was off the stadium. But Aaron Zahavi was just superb. He is worth the price of admission. The second he gets onto the pitch, something special is going to happen. He is a winner. He is a great player. It's been 6 years since he played for Maccabi Tel Aviv. We know he score has scored well over 100 goals between China and the Netherlands. Spectacular specimen of a player that has ever been here. Maccabi Tel Aviv still has a lot of work to go. This is not a well-oiled machine. The other thing that really came out of the last two games is that Ivic has tried to get players and that they've said no. They've decided to go other places, which means, players are still cautious about coming to Israel. If Israel or an Israeli team wants a player to come, in cases that they can get better offers, you're going to have to pay them a premium. That's just the life in Israel. I don't think there's any way around that. And he hasn't been able to get players to help out in certain positions. Jordi Jovanovic, who came over last year, he scored the first goal. It was like a 3-on-1 break, and he slotted it home. Zahavi with the bookend goal in the 84th minute, where he, knew exactly where to place the ball right off the inside of the post and into the goal, into the net. As Zahavi makes a triumphant comeback, whipped off that shirt, got a yellow card for it, did the pew pew in the air, a game we were both at. Roy Shalom, again, I think that people had come into this game with a lot of question marks. I think they left feeling a lot better, and I'm talking about the Maccabi fans. They felt a lot better when they walked out of the stadium after this game.
It just all of the question marks just disappeared. So in 90 minutes, isn't that just crazy what one game can do and what two games beforehand can also add to the panic level. When you see this team and when you see Xavi go in, and I don't want to talk only about Xavi because there was so much more other than that, but when you saw him in, you saw the potential. You saw, what this team can really do. You saw Oscar. It was funny because Oscar and Xavi went in together. And you see the small touches between them, and you see that it's still not, the connection and, it's still not perfect, right?
No,
They're still
well,
working on
Xavi
it
said
together.
he had three practices with the team. I mean, that's it. He had three training sessions. So,
But you're seeing it. You're like, you feel it that in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, they'll know the moves of each other, that they'll be able to really feed each other to many, many goals and many happy moments for Maccabi Tel Aviv fans. But, even before that, I want to say that Ivic just outclassed RS Saloniki.
Yermin
For
Burgos. By the way, Yermin Burgos is one of the worst interviews that you'll ever have. I don't know if you heard about his press conference, but it was like embarrassing. I
Ten
mean,
word. I heard it was around
it's
10
like
words per answer.
per answer. I mean, I had to string together a few of these answers to get a quote, right? I mean, it was just it was it, I feel bad for the Greek journalist. I really do. Because the guy goes, it was injustice for us as we created seven, eight clear chances, situations for a goal. It's the first half. We will now prepare for the second half. We need to have a draw. We need to win the game. Those were his answers to the various questions. I mean,
That's crazy.
it was embarrassing. I mean, I felt bad. I tell you, I got to feel bad for those journalists. I mean, it was brutal. It was really brutal. You know, if you want to try to get a quote or a story, you're getting nothing. I mean, it was horrible.
So really, and we should note that Maccabi Tel Aviv, who was terrible last season on the defensive end, has not allowed a score in all four official games so far.
That is impressive. I don't know what happened to
And
Maccabi Tel Aviv.
it's the same defenders. Neil Beaton came in yesterday for the first time, really started the game. But until yesterday, pretty much, and including yesterday, and only Neil Beaton came in, they haven't allowed a score. And that has a lot to do with Ivic, that understood that that's the first thing he has to really work on. And we know that, in soccer, it's not only those four or five defenders. It is a full team that really needs to work offensively and defensively. So that was first of all impressive, and you saw Neil Beaton, who started for the first time for Maccabi Tel Aviv, and you saw how, first of all, experienced he is, and how much technique he has, and how much he can help the Maccabi Tel Aviv ball handling, game, that he can really, start a possession, or he helps Shiranyeny or Sabarit or even Glaza to be in that open space, or even Peretz as the goalkeeper, really opening up and, building the next attack. And he's really there always, or he sees to change, the direction of play, because he can. He has those incredible long passes
He's
that are
very tall.
there, like.
He also has long legs and a very tall player. I mean, he has a lot of attributes that a normal Israeli player doesn't have, especially somebody if they're going to play in a defensive midfielder or a central defender position. No, I mean his passes were very good. His attempts at goal were very good. The one place, again, and we mentioned this off air, defensively, he made a couple of boo-boos that could have cost goals. I mean, it created chances for them. A little sloppy. You saw also right before he made an error, like a couple minutes right before he came off, and you could see he right after that, he immediately asked to be substituted off. And they knew, and I mean, Ivic said after the game that he was only going to play, you know, X amount of minutes, and that he's not going to be able to play 90 minutes for quite some time. He hasn't played in over a month, and it's going to take him time to get into the swing of things, as they say. It's not going to be it's not going to be 5 minutes. And the same thing with Zahavi here. Things are going to take time with them, but the potential is there, and I think that's what the fans are super excited about. That they see the potential. They see a player that they haven't had. And could do things that they haven't been able to do in years.
Right. And you know, you saw, and I want to note a couple of players. You know, Sharon Yeni yesterday for me was amazing. Really being that true captain, you know, on the field. And, you know, he was so quiet, but so disruptive in a way that, you know, we're talking about Andre Gray, that he was, you know, he's a striker, a national team Jamaican striker, and he played for Watford back then when they were in the Premier League, and you didn't feel him. And he's a fast striker as well, and you just didn't feel him at all yesterday. Next to Beaton and Yeni. And, you know, every time that there was a ball, between Yeni and Gray, Yeni came out of it. And every time I was a bit like, I was worried. I'll be honest, before the game, I was like, I was worried about it because I was like, okay, Gray will just run, you know, between them and that's it, that's in. But they were really, really good together. And Gabi Kanikovsky was running like a man.
Gabi Kanikovsky was probably the MVP of the game.
Yeah, he was just all over the pitch, and he was, you know, you saw that, and it was hard. You know, it's really hot in Israel. It's really hard to play soccer. Like, you know, just being in the stands, it's hot enough. So the thing about playing, you know, 90 minutes like that is nuts for me. But he never stopped running for a sec, and he was going down to slides and tackles and you know there, and Aris had some big physical guys, and you see just Kavi Kanikovsky just wanted more, and that was also incredible to watch, and he led to the first goal, you know, leading the fast break, and really, you know, he did a hesitation as if he's gonna shoot it. And he just went the other way, passed it the other way to Jovanovic, and really gave him an amazing chance to score as he did. But really, Kanikovsky was lights out yesterday. And you're seeing this Maccabi Tel Aviv team, and you're like, ooh, you know.
Look at the potential.
They could have. Yeah, they could have.
We're all seeing the potential of what they could be doing.
Right. And you're like, Haifa is already showing the potential and really, you know, displaying it, and it shows. And Maccabi Tel Aviv, you know, if they were a bit more, you know, concentrated, this game should have been 4-5-0 yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody was saying as well, that they could have been 4-5-0. And we'll say this, that
it could have
easily been 2-1 or 2-2 as well.
2-1.
Exactly. You know, because they missed a chance, Aris, at the end of the game.
The last play.
Was a gimme chance. I mean, they basically, all they had to do was just, like, roll the ball into the goal, and they weren't able to do it. And I can tell you this. Yeah. Their journalists were going wild when he missed that, because they knew that was the end, that – you know, that now they have no chance, that there's like the chances of them making it through are like almost zero. And that's a big thing. Now, let me ask you this. Ivic spoke about, you know, obviously having wanted to bring in players and not being able to find players that would agree to come. You know, they came close and then things would fall apart. If you're Maccabi Tel Aviv right now, what positions are you strengthening? Which players are you moving around? The other, and I'll bring this up also. He talked about playing two strikers. He played Stipe with Zahavi. It was interesting because it was brought up in the press conference with Eran Zahavi after the game in the mix zone that it was like, Barak Badash when he was on the team at the time when he laid the ball off. So we all remember that goal in the Derby. So the question is, I think Ivic likes Pirica. He said that, having three strikers is nice. It's going to be a challenge to play them all. It's not going to always happen. He played, he kind of mixed his formations a number of times. I think the best thing that happened to Maccabi yesterday was not only did Eran come back, but that David Zada was actually not able to play in the starting lineup. I think that was, he was supposed to start and then they took him off and brought in Matan Hozez during training. I think that was one of the keys to the game. I think that created a lot more ability on the flanks. I mean, to think that Ofir David Zada is still playing for Maccabi Tel Aviv right now is surprising. I mean, they've not been able to find the right players. I mean, Saborit is playing in a central defender position, right? He should, he did switch over though to play a little bit of defensive back in the second half. I think they switched a lot of things up when they brought in four new players, being Oscar Gloch and Eran Zahavi and Idan Nachmias. Idan Nachmias didn't show me much of anything in the game.
No, no.
He's, I think he's like, I don't want to say he's a lost cause, but he's a lost cause. Look at that roster. Geraldes was,
Where that this was his best game. Okay,
yes,
I
it
want
was his
you know
best
what
game, but
I want
he
to give
was.
him I want to say this about Gerardus, and that is something that has been brought up, and that's a question that should be asked, and we saw yesterday, and I want to bring it up. There was a thing about Gerardus, and he wasn't good last year at all, and we should note
Awful.
it. And
He was
he
awful.
was yeah he was awful. And a question was brought up, is it because the player next to him on defense was Idan Nachmias, which he wasn't good. Nachmias, and we
Not
also
good.
saw it yesterday, he's just not confident, and he doesn't have the ball, the skills that really can build attacks like Nir Bitton. Now, when we saw
We
Nir
can't.
Bitton,
You're starting to compare Nir
no, that's what I'm saying.
Bitton. Nir
We
Bitton
can't
played
compare
a
them.
decade. He played a
No, we
decade for
can't. No,
Celtic. You can't. You
no,
cannot
and
compare
no, no, no.
him
I'm not comparing. I'm
whatsoever.
not comparing. No, I'm saying, I'm showing the difference. So when Geraldo played with Nachmias, he couldn't really even build something with him because
There's nothing
Nachmias
to
wasn't
work
even
with.
finding him
There's
exactly.
nothing to
And
work with.
now, but when you see Nir Bitton play with Gyarados, and we saw it at the first couple of minutes, Gyarados wasn't running on the line that much, but when Nir Bitton was like telling him, "Hey, just push forward, like all good, I'll find you," you started seeing him running offensive, vertically. Like finally, you were like, he's finally running on the line, and he's sprinting the whole line and going back. And you saw him even go to the middle and try to be like this offensive, like right wing back, like an offensive right wing back. And when I saw that, I was like, okay. But when he did that, he didn't go back to defense because he just didn't have the air to do it. And I understand it was just so hard to play. So I saw yesterday the all of the things that I saw from Gyarados back then, the potential. We're talking a lot about the potential, so I'm seeing it a lot with Nir Bitton. And we should remember he had it back then with Eytan Tivy, was his guy next to him, and now we're seeing it with Nir Bitton. I think this might be, I hope for him
The winning
this might be,
combination.
yeah, because if he can get it together. And Maccabi is like, we don't need to find that right wing back as we're desperate for, because they really were. We should know that he wasn't good until even yesterday. And also the first couple of minutes he wasn't good. But after that, I really, really enjoyed and liked what he did. And he had also some really good passes to Jovanovic, some crosses from to Jovanovic,
And
who
I'll
had
say
some chances to
this,
score.
and I'll say this, okay? And this is an important piece here. When Zahavi came in, and again, they were only expecting him to play 15 minutes, played almost 30. What was clear was when the ball got to the last third of the defensive side of Maccabi Tel Aviv, Zahavi stopped running. Like there was a couple of balls on his side, and that was immediate. He stopped running, and Giraldesh basically had to pick up the slack, and he knew that also. He understood that he was going to pick up the slack. And also, as soon as Zahavi came in, you saw Giraldus fighting a lot harder for those balls on the flank. I mean, all of a sudden, he was really fighting because they knew that, listen, Zahavi, and I'm not comparing Zahavi here to Leo Messi, right? Now, we got to see Leo Messi this week on the same pitch. It's kind of shocking. Yes, Leo Messi and PSG put on quite the performance with Neymar and Sergio Ramos. Bloomfield Stadium on Sunday night, which was spectacular. I mean, it was just amazing to watch. It was a concert. But you see Leo Messi, he knows when to turn the jets on. He knows when he needs to move. He knows how he's going to conserve his energy throughout the game. He played 90 minutes. Think about that, by the way. All those players I just mentioned, Neymar, Messi, Sergio Ramos, all played 90 minutes in that game to give you an idea of how fit the PSG players, all the PSG players actually played 90 minutes. That just shows you how fit they are compared to our players, and they played in the same conditions.
You're
Uh,
right.
but and which is something to, obviously we have to know about down the road, that we always talk about the fitness of the Israeli teams compared to the other teams. Well, that was a perfect example of it. But I'm not comparing Zahavi to him, but he knows he's going to have to conserve himself. You're not going to see Zahavi playing any type of defense this year. He's not going to track back. He's not going to fight for balls on the sides. He is going to be looking for the ball in his sweet spot when he gets it, going towards the goal forward. He knows how to make the passes. He knows where to expect the players that he's going to get the ball back. And that is going to be around Zahavi, a very
If
similar
it's,
style of
yeah,
Messi.
it,
I mean, we saw
yeah.
Messi, right? That's how Messi plays now. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And if it said it perfectly, what does Ramon Zahavi score? Score. That's what he is. He's not a tackler. He's not so, someone who will run. He's not that. He's the scorer. He'll just get the ball and score it. And that's, it's perfect, and that's his job, and he's really, 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 really good at this job. Really good, we're talking top Europe good, as
He
we
played, you have
saw
to
even
remember, he
then.
played in the Dutch league and he had plenty of goals.
Right,
Forget about the
and in
Chinese league,
the
right? We're talking about the Dutch
no,
league
and
here
we're
now.
and not
I
only
mean,
that, we saw it also on the national team. He was one of the top scorers here in
and he's
the
not
qualifying
young.
round in Europe, and he's
He's
not
not
young.
young.
So that's the thing. So I do see some good things about Giraldesh, especially with Nirbitton next to him. And so we're talking about who should they bring in. We know they want another defender. We understand why they need another defender. They can't rely on Yeni and Biton and only them. They do need another guy. And Bradley Kuvas wasn't great yesterday. To be honest, as well, he was trying, wasn't great. And we've heard Dor Perez, and I think for me, we heard Elie Dassa as well. Elie Dassa, I see it as a long shot. I don't see that happening, but Dor Perez for this team, I think is exactly what they're missing. They're missing the guy that will really connect the defense and the offense. There's Don Glazer, who is just he's a cleaner. He'll clean everything that is needed. He'll just he'll make it happen for Ivic, and he's Ivic's guy. But I think Dor Perez, who we saw really make that improvement of being a bit more offensive under Ivic as well, I think he's the perfect missing piece for this team, really in the middle, to really do it. And then you can, well, if you get Dor Perez, you can really play with whoever you want as the foreigners. And You know what? I won't be surprised if it's going to be only one foreigner coming in and not two, if Geraldo really shows that him and Nurbitone are that. And then that means it's or Kuvas is out or Perica is out. And Perica yesterday showed how good he is. And I think we should also know this, that Perica is someone that will have a market. Like, there will be a team that would be willing to put maybe 1 million euros, maybe 1.5 million euros to really buy him, because he has a lot of value. And you saw it just yesterday with, him and Xavi playing together. And I think that's what Maccabi will be playing. Maccabi will be playing with two strikers. They will be playing with Oscar Gloch. They don't have right now the wingers. You'll see Parfiga going, which is he's injured. Also play. You saw Gabi. They'll find a way. Maybe that 5-3-2 formation that we saw, or the 5-4-1 that were just more wingerish. We'll see that as Maccabi Tel Aviv formation going forward. But you really need the personnel for it, which right now it's still not complete. From a commentary.
Yeah, not complete. All right, let's move on. Of course, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi Show, Roy Shalom, Sports Rabbi Josh Halachman, talking about the Israeli soccer news. Hapoel Be'er Sheva, a nice, tidy 2-0 win. Tomer Yosefi, is this his breakout season? A gorgeous goal for him in the game. They just played excellent in a tough pitch against a tough team in Lugano. They've got to be super happy. Elliot Barta has to be super, super, super happy with that. And then the new striker, Astrid Silmani, added a second goal for Be'er Sheva as well. He latched onto a Dormicha ball, put it into the net, and that was it. I mean, the second half still has to be played in Israel, but a lot of people had already written off Be'er Sheva from making it to the next round. They were like, Be'er Sheva's not going anywhere, isn't. Lo and behold, they are in control of this tie.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. Honestly, I was really surprised to see the final score here. Be'er Sheva is also an impressive team to open up the season, and we talked about, Maccabi Tel Aviv and Be'er Sheva saying in their press conferences, hey, we played against weaker teams, which brings us to lower level of play because we're not there yet to really play our game because it's us. And when you saw both of them play against better teams, you saw them really bring up their level and, play really good. Now, compared to, looking at this game, it was a very physical game, not a lot of opportunities from both sides, but Be'er Sheva were able to get those two goals and keeping an empty net, like a clean sheet, sorry, a clean sheet defensively. And we know how good this defense is with, Vitor, TV, El Hamid Lopez, if it's Dadia, or whoever's playing on that right wing as well. But really, this defense is, maybe the best in the league. Not maybe, they are the best in the league, and they have some good players offensively as well. And I think right now for Eden Barda, which he has been hitting week in and week out, is his subs. And he's really using his subs perfectly. And his subs, if it was Hatuel, Micha, and Silmani, were the ones who scored that huge, important second goal. And when you can really bring in, and that's also the beauty of the five subs. We haven't even really talked
It's
about it,
great,
but
by the way. It's a great rule.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I really believe that it's really, being able to really bring in five new players, and it refreshes the team, and you can really see teams improve with these five substitutions. So when he made those three, and on the offensive side, you really saw a difference. And it was a physical game. It was a hard game, an away game. And they took an amazing, they have an amazing advantage coming into to Turner. We're seeing Eugene Ansah right now, as we saw him at the start of last year as well. He also started back then amazingly good, and he finished the game with the assist to Tomer Yosefi. But the Beersheva is a really good team as well. And we're talking about these three teams and Maccabi Netanya. We should know them. We'll talk about them a bit later. But these, I don't remember three so, good teams, especially this early in the season, but generally in the Israeli league. And it feels like, we talked about it a bit last week, that we're seeing maybe a bit something different with teams, these teams willing to spend more money for players. It's paying off. So Monty scored, he's the new signing. Pierre Rhodes scored, he's the
He's a
new
new
signing.
signing.
Jovanovic, that came in
Is a
January,
new signing.
is a new signing. Eran Zahavi is a new
New
signing,
signing.
and probably would have been, also he's one of the highest paid players here in Israel, if not the highest paid one. So we're seeing this thing that the new signings, the new players, the good players that are brought here to Israel are really making the difference here in the Conference League or Champions League. So, it's going to be super interesting. I want to see all of these teams play against each other now. Like, this is like, I wish we could have seen in this Conference League or Champions League, see these teams clash against each other, because I would say, these are European teams, all of them. I really believe all three teams are European, and Beersheva with Barda, who's really surprising me as a coach, and his versatility, and him, I think that last year was perfect for him to really understand what his identity as a coach is. And I think that his team is a hardworking team, a team that understands what plan they need to win. And his game plan worked perfectly yesterday in Switzerland. And again, we're talking about Israel being, talking about us. Yeah, Lugano is not a good team. They would have been the second division here in Israel. All of those nonsense that we hear sometimes. But yeah, when do we beat teams, Swiss teams in Switzerland? Or when do we, it doesn't happen so often. Or basketball wise, we saw the U18 team, play and play so well. And we saw the soccer team, the also the U18 get to
Well, the
the
U18 fell apart
No, no, I know, I know, I know. But
yesterday.
I'm saying,
They fell apart in that second half,
but
boy.
I'm saying generally about Israeli sports,
I know, I
and
know.
especially in the soccer, that we're seeing, and especially in the soccer, getting also to the finals of the Euros, that we are seeing something different. I think that, the vision back then of Willy Rothensteiner 4 years ago, that he came in and, it didn't look good back then. Not the league, not the national team, nothing.
It's all Willie,
And
baby.
it's a loop.
It's all Willie.
And yeah, all Willy.
Slick Willie.
But But yeah, something here is really happening, and it's finally so much fun to watch, and we're so proud of it. We're seeing Beersheba, who's, on their on the way to make it to the playoffs of the conference, which is amazing. And their matchup is against Zorya, the Ukrainian team
Or
that,
Craiova.
or Craiova, yeah. But Zorya,
Zorya Luhansk scored. They won 1-0 at home.
and
So I
that
mean,
is Patrick.
Craiova is not
That's
an easy team. Duh.
yeah, and it's Patrick Van Leeuwen's team and Raymond Atfeld's team. So that would be interesting that if we'll see them back here in Israel. But with what the way I see it, they have a really good chance to reach the Conference League. And that would be an amazing accomplishment for Alona Barkat, for and again, there was also rumor they're still looking for players as well. There was rumors yesterday that they're looking at a winger, a Polish winger, and they're willing to put and pay money for it. So for him. So we're really seeing these teams make that next step, and we're seeing other teams selling players for a high amount of money. So this Israeli league really looks, and it's really exciting for me because it really looks that we are making that next stage going forward. And thinking that Beersheba and Maccabi Tel Aviv still might bring in players, and we're even hearing that Haifa might bring in another player or two, maybe a foreigner, maybe Dia Saba, who might be an amazing option for them, if you ask me. It's just so much fun because you just see these teams really, really improve from year to year, and it makes me proud in a way. And just it's fun. It's really fun.
It's a lot of fun. One thing we didn't mention before, Maccabi Tel Aviv, if they get by RS Thessaloniki, they get to play Nice, which is not going to be an easy game. It's not going to be an easy tie against Nice. Nice is a very, very, very good team. They aren't
And
the one advantage,
yeah.
an advantage and disadvantage. One is that their season only starts, their domestic season starts this weekend. They haven't had to play in qualifying. It's interesting. You look at their team. They have players like Aaron Ramsey. Is that right?
Schmeichel.
Aaron Ramsey,
Yeah.
Kasper Schmeichel, Dante is their captain. Morgan Schindelin, playing on this team. Kasper Dolberg, who we've seen with Denmark before. This is a loaded, loaded, loaded team. The question is how fit are they going into that tie? It's going
But
to be a question, but still, there's Aaron Ramsey's not on the he's on the say his downside of his career right now. A number of those players are. I mean, Kasper Schmeichel isn't, but there's a number of players on
yeah.
the downside of their career, like also Morgan Schindelin, so. But they're still a very, very good team. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough tie.
But
And Maccabi still has to get by Aras.
right. So I want to know this, and this is for me the what Mitch has seen himself and seen this the vision of this team. And that is something, all teams here need to look at it. So especially the Europeans. So they're seeing themselves, and he said, as a European team. As a re European team, some not sometimes, you need to beat European teams. And Nice is a good European team. Are they Champions League? No. Are they Europa League? Probably they should have been, by the names should be in the Europa League. But this is the whole point of you playing against, you want to play against these teams because it means you're supposed to be there as well. Of course, you want the draw, an easier draw, right? You want the worst team in the draw. But if they are in this draw, there's a reason why they're are in it. And if you're the seeded team, you're supposed to be like on paper the better team on paper. It's not for real, but you need to show it. You need to show why you are the seeded team in the end of the day. Why you've been working so hard for the past couple of years to get these European points and really, show off and show it. And that's the whole point. That's why he's bringing Jovanovic for 2 million. That's why he's bringing in Hrannšavy. That's why he's paying Ivic so much, because this team is supposed to be doing those steps to really be in this European, a European name Maccabi Tel Aviv really wants to be at. And sometimes, and a lot of times, and you need to go through Nice. You need to go through Olympiacos. You need to go through teams who are on
Are
paper
good.
are good.
They're good. And their coach is Lucien Favre, who was the coach of Dortmund, Borussia Mönchengladbach, Hertha, Zurich. This is not a not a this is not a Bobo coach and a Bobo team.
No, it's not.
This is not going to be easy. This is going to be a
It's not.
very, 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 very tough go. I mean, he won two Swiss League championships. He won a Super Cup with Dortmund. Didn't have a great run with Dortmund. He didn't have great runs, but he's still a top level European coach. It's not going to be an easy tie.
No.
All
Nope.
right, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi Josh Halfman, where we show him wrapping up the Israeli Soccer Week. Let's move on to a few other things. Quick hits here, okay? Let's go through these quickly. Manor Solomon set to make his debut for Fulham against Liverpool on Saturday afternoon. Will he be in the squad? My source in England says he will be in the squad. Will he be starting? Still unclear, but he is ready to go. He got his official release. He is available for the team, and that should be exciting to see him play. Two, Edin Kartsev, Netanya's top player, really, arguably one of the top players, looks like he may be moving teams all of a sudden out of nowhere. This report comes out that he's going to move to with Dynamo Moscow, I believe. Is that true? Dynamo Moscow? I think everybody's looking at this is true now. There's been some kind of complications. Doesn't look, maybe if he goes, it's going to be on a loan now. I guess there's some issues because it's a Russian team. Your thoughts about this potential move by Edin Kartsev? I mean, really came out of nowhere. I don't
So
think. And
apparently.
by the way, my 2 cents. I don't think any Israeli player should be going to a Russian team right now for lots of different reasons. Okay, and I'm not even talking politically. I'm just saying that you. Why would you want to put yourself at risk? There's still salary issues. There's all kinds of things going on. But you're basically, putting yourself in a difficult situation. And one last thing on this, and I'll let you talk, is that French, France national team will not take players that are playing in Russia. I mean, Israel will take, that's not going to be an issue, but it's very odd. The whole thing is just very strange to me.
I agree with you on a couple of things there, but this is an opportunity for him to really take his career to the next level. Now, maybe another year in Netanya would have brought him even higher. We don't know, and we'll probably never know. But he has a great opportunity under Slaviša Jokanović, that also knows him. He's the head coach in Dynamo Moscow. He wanted Dor Perez, Chimki Moscow, sorry. He wanted Dor Perez. Dor Perez rejected the offer, and then they went to Kartsev's option. And it's a team that should be playing in a European stage. Now they aren't, of course, because everything that is going on. The war between the inflation between Russia to Ukraine. But it's an amazing opportunity for him as a player, and I understand the reason why he wants to go there.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It doesn't happen. No, it just doesn't happen every day. That also he there's a coach there that likes him. We know that Jokanović, really liked him as a coach as well. So, it just doesn't happen every day. And his family is originally Karts's family is originally from Belarus. So,
Right. Yeah, I understand. I understand all the things. I get
he
it.
has the tie, you know, the somewhat ties, and he's not afraid of going there and all of that. Maybe compared to other Israelis, so I see it as a good fit. I see it as really another stage in his career, in his early career. You know, I like it that he just that you know the offer has been there for a month, from what was reported. But they were waiting for Netanya to really see what they're doing in Europe. And he said, as long as Netanya's in Europe, you know, I'm staying. But the second Netanya was out, you know, he just his dream was going out to Europe, and he just didn't want to maybe lose, you know, to lose the dream and to maybe fall. So I understand it. It's a good deal for Netanya. It's 2.6 million euros, the highest transfer ever for Netanya. That is also something to note. It will be a big loss for Netanya because Karsev has been Netanya's top midfielder for sure. And they are looking now for options if it is Aviv Zardari from Beitar Jerusalem or Eden Shamir that is, you know, played for Maccabi Tel Aviv last year but is now in Standard Liège. We've heard Shai Eisen as well. So different names. And they signed Michael Ohana recently as well, Netanya. So I'm sure they will be able to bring in someone, and they're all pretty young, other than Eden Shamir, that is also still in supposed to be in its peak of his career. But Netanya is at least in a spot that players want to come there, and Elian Makaias as well. I forgot his name was also reported as well. So players want to be there, especially young players, because you see Beni Lam is really developing him and Armoko and are really developing these players, and you know teams outside are looking at them, and it's incredible to watch because that's another team, and the way they played in Europe, they deserve a lot of credit, and then pretty much being the fourth team here in Israel, you know it's going to be interesting to see who they will be able to bring in. Instead of Erdin Karsev, but I like it for him. I really do, and I think it's a good deal for Netanya, for him financially as well. But it's not going to be easy, that's for sure.
All right, where else do we have to go here? The sports probably knows is one other thing. Oh, Lior Rafaelov. I was going to, I'm checking off my list here. Lior Rafaelov, a goal for Anderlecht, 2-0 win in UEFA Conference League qualifying as well. The guy just keeps on giving. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
He never dies. You know, I've heard his name. You know, he's out of Anderlecht. The coach doesn't want him here, there. I've heard so much, but you know, he just does what he's been doing for years now in Belgium, and it's just unbelievable. And yes, you can say it's against a team from Estonia, and the Estonian team should be in the third division in Belgium, and here and there and all that. But he's just doing everything he's been doing for the past years, and it's incredible. So nice to see him play the way he has. By the way, more, you know, Nacho played also for 90 minutes. And Ata Jaber and Kenny Seif played for Neftchi Baku, and they both led for the win, led them for a win over Rapid Vienna in the Conference League. So that is also amazing. They both scored. So another good Israeli outing in Europe. And I guess we're doing a pretty good job, you know, looking at that end. It's really nice. It's really, really nice to see the Israeli soccer just developed the way it's been developing the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because
Now, yeah.
we have
It's been
said it
great.
looks
It's really
bad,
been
so
great.
yeah.
Well, let's go last but never not least. Beitar Jerusalem. How could we go a show without talking about Beitar? And we've got to get this done in under like 2 or 3 minutes here.
We're doing
It's
really
a
quick.
Beitar Jerusalem, and basically the police finally gave their approval that Barak Abramov will be able to purchase the team from Moshe Chogeg. It took them a long time, but it's clear, you know. And I'll just say this very briefly: Beitar is going from one disastrous ownership to another, to another, to another, to another, to another. It just like goes one after the next. And instead of trying something new with Josh Jacoby and his group, they're going with the same old story over and over and over again. And the city of Jerusalem is still not happy about this. Now, Abramov is going to have to get them in line. Barak Abramov, that is, of course, the owner, who was the owner of Bnei Yehuda and is buying Beitar Jerusalem. He's still going to have to get their approval on this. I'm sure they're going to eventually give it to him. But it's like the same old stuff over and over again with Beitar Jerusalem. I mean, how much can the fans accept this rolling, this rolling nonsensical ownership? I don't know. I mean, you look at what a Barak Abramov did with Bnei Yehuda. He basically dumped the team. I mean, it's like the same thing over and over and over again. So what's going to happen in 2, 3, 4 years with Beitar? It's like there's never a long-term thought of putting something properly together. And that to me is just very sad.
Agree.
There's not
I
much else to
disagree.
say,
I've
right?
got
I mean,
nothing.
there's nothing else to
Nothing.
add there.
It
There's
just
nothing else to add.
sad. It's sad. That's the only thing I want to say. It's sad that that's the situation, and that's what I guess these fans deserve because they don't. But that's the situation. I just hope that at least Beitar will be good. But that's I don't know if I can trust that.
I don't know. I just see this as another disaster waiting to happen, and the fans are happy about it. You know, the fans are happy. They just want to get another owner in there, and then they'll chew him up and spit him out. We'll have the same stories again. Yes, we're going to bring in an Arab player. Yes, of course we're this and we're that. Nothing's ever going to happen. We're going to try to get this and that done, and it's the promises that keep going. And listen, the bottom line is that Beitar is one of the most popular teams in this country, and it just can never stop, biting themselves in the hand constantly. They just keep kicking themselves in the butt every single time. It's like, I don't know. I just don't know. Roy Shalom, where can people find you? Where can people reach out to you?
So you can reach out at rshalom on Twitter. Really, you can DM me about anything, so feel free.
Of course, me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports. Check us out in English and in Hebrew. We bring it to you in both languages. A lot of fun, of course, with Roy Shalom. It was a blast as usual. I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And also for those that are fasting and commemorating the destruction of the temples in the holy city of Jerusalem on the ninth day of Av, Tisha B'Av, the holiday is pushed off. Of course, it's supposed to start Friday night. It will start Saturday night. And those who are fasting have an easy fast, have a meaningful fast. And the fast is a 25-hour fast, will end on Sunday evening. So, wishing all of you a Shabbat Shalom from the holy city of Jerusalem.